Welcome to the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. Show notes, links, and contact details can be found at robnunphoto.com. That's www.robnunphoto.com. SCL is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, and loads of other great tech podcasts can be found over at www.techpodcast.com. Now on with the show. Hi everybody, and welcome to SCL, the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. My name's Rob from robnunphoto.com, and this is my little audio diary about my journey through the wonderful world of photography. Well, it's the 4th of November 2012, and this is episode 208, recorded on a Sunday evening in Gosport on the south coast of the UK. Apologies for not recording a podcast for a while. I've been very busy at work. We have these events called VAT-free events, where we send out loads of invites to people. They come in, they spend lots of money because they get the equivalent of the VAT knocked off our stock. And as you can imagine, that's very, very popular indeed, and we do some late nights for that. But there's also all the increased things, like lots more stock comes in, we have to do lots of orders, all that sort of stuff. We've also had a stock take, and I've been working at a couple of stock takes at other stores as well, helping them out. So although I haven't been recording podcasts, I've been using my camera phone, and I've been looking at loads of images as well, library books, magazines, ebooks, etc. I've been trawling through anything I can get my hands on just to have a look and get some inspiration, and kind of, it's all about that thing of looking at 10,000 photographs and trying to absorb them into my psyche so they can influence and help inspire my particular vision, which I'm not quite sure what that actually is yet. What I do know is that I don't have that much imagination when it comes to photography and thinking about different things to do. So maybe looking at lots of other images will help me be inspired to do that. But I'm just about to start watching a DVD by a guy called Peter Hurley. You may have heard of the name already. He's one of the world's top headshot photographers. I'll put a link in the show notes over at robnunphoto.com. If you do a quick Google search though, just for Peter Hurley, that's H-U-R-L-E-Y, you can go to his website and look at his work. And yeah, I mean, he's the headshot king. And when we think of headshots for like actors or models, we don't think they're very dynamic, do we? Not with that much personality, but you look at his headshots and they really are something special indeed. Everyone seems to tell some sort of story about the person he's taking a photograph of. And it kind of, looking at his work, and the reason why I discovered him is because there's a great podcast out there. If you don't listen to it already, you should do. It's called Frono's Photo. It's Raw Talk by Jared Poland from Frono'sPhoto.com. And it's a really brilliant podcast. It can get a little bit of getting used to Jared's style, because he's very forthright, really passionate about what he does. But he does some great interviews. And he did one with Peter Hurley, and they're talking about lots of other things. So I went on and had a look at his website. But one of the things I really like as well is comparing kind of his type of headshots with, say, the work of someone like Henri Cartier-Bresson and his book Tête-à-Tête, with his portraits in there. And that, obviously, Peter's portraits, his headshots, where people are coming to him and paying him money to produce, you know, a headshot for, I don't know, on the web or as a card to hand out if they're actors or actresses, where Cartier-Bresson's portraits in tête-à-tête are more kind of go around and visiting famous people and taking pictures. Maybe, I don't know if he was actually commissioned to do them or not, but you know, the difference, but the similarity between the two is the way that they all hold some part, or apparently hold and offer some part of the subject's personality. Anyway, check out his website for some amazing shots. So what I'm going to be talking about today is a quick review of our last assignment from September, October, and some words on a new assignment for November and December. One thing though, before I get started on that, was one of the guys who I know at work has just got, Dave actually, has just got a Samsung Galaxy Note 2. And he brought it in and we were looking at it today. And I tell you what, if you're in the market for a new phone, check out the Samsung Galaxy Note, because it's this great huge phone, brilliant size. I mean, I love big phones, you know, I've got the Galaxy Nexus, which is a big phone. The Galaxy Note's even bigger. But it has this amazingly, beautifully crisp screen. And takes some amazing photographs. He was taking pictures inside the store. So it's in artificial light, dim artificial light. And I was blown away. I mean, the clarity in these pictures was just amazing. Really. I don't know if it was the camera or the screen or a combination of the two. But they looked really beautiful. So if you're in the market for a new phone, you know, even if you're an Apple fan person, I'd say you go and check out the cameras on like the Galaxy Note, and I guess probably Galaxy Note 2, and I guess probably on the S3 as well, because it's definitely better than one of my Galaxy Nexus, and I was very impressed indeed. And talk about being impressed. I've got to say I've been really impressed and inspired by the entries in the last assignment we had. The quality and the ideas have been great, and there's been this great fascinating mix of film and digital, and a dizzying array of subjects too. And I think I'm a lot more apt to put my camera in manual mode to try and fully control the exposure. And also, I've been inspired to really think harder about the message I want to get across in some of my images. So, you know, without further ado, let's have a look at the photo assignment for September and October, which was Sell Me Something and manual mode. So if you're new to the podcast, basically what we do is every 2 months we'll have an assignment, and I try and include, it covers 2 months because I know we're all busy and it gives us opportunity to have a go. And I try to include two kind of ideas as well. So the ideas for September and October were, you know, sell me something. So take a picture or create some sort of image that's like an advert. And manual mode. So just use your camera in manual mode. Just go out there and have a go. Get it off aperture priority. Get it off shutter priority. Get out of automatic. Get out of program mode. And see what you can learn by shooting it manually. So let's have a look. Well, Joe got the first picture in. He slipped in there. He started off with a photo of a sunset. Manual mode is especially useful and powerful in situations where the exposure, so how light or dark the photograph, is quite different to what you your camera might expect. Your camera's set up in its basic metering mode to make your picture have an average of 18% grey in it. I mean, it's quite simplified. Modern cameras do have all these, they do things a little bit more advanced, but that's basically it. So if you take a picture of a white piece of paper, it'll look grey. If you take a picture of a black piece of paper, you know, where the paper fills the frame, it'll look grey. So what you have to do is, if you're taking a photo of an image or a scene that is predominantly very, very bright or very, very dark, you have to use exposure compensation to darken it or lighten it. Or if you're in manual mode, you can just set it to what you want. And sunsets are a great example where the overall scene is darker than the camera is expecting. So if you take a picture with it in one of the automatic modes, like aperture priority, without using exposure compensation, the camera will then will overexpose the image and brighten it up. And when you get it home and look at it on your computer, you'll think, well, where's all those rich, dark, saturated colours that I saw? So a great example. And then Joe goes on, he's taken this great photo of a shot of some of his birthday dinner happy birthday, Joe. A bit belated. And it's a great example of how there are things all around us that we can take pictures of and learn from. And Joe's picture looks very nice. It wouldn't look out of place in a magazine. It looks like, what have we got? Have we got some prawns there and some noodles of some sort? Looks very appetising. And food photography is a whole subgenre, you know, that we can get into. And there's all sorts of things go on. Big business, because if you want to become, you know, a paid photographer, you've got to think, well, what sort of gigs can you get where you actually get paid to do stuff? So being like a wedding photographer, if you're shooting for magazines and things, and you know, there's, if you go into your average magazine, your news agents or whatever, look at all the slimming magazines and food magazines. There's loads of them, isn't there? And they all have these beautifully presented dishes. So that's something to get on. Oh, wait, actually, underneath what it is, it's gamberoni al limon e caprari. Sauteed shrimp with garlic, lemon juice, capers, and diced. Oh, God, I'm feeling really hungry. We had rather nice roast beef for tea. And I've got some leftovers, so I think I'm going to have some roast beef sandwiches in a bit. Joe's put another photo in, which is one of the last pics he took, which is of a nice little cupcake with a candle on, and he's turned it into a almost at the front of a greeting card, a birthday card, and he's added writing happy birthday in Photoshop. And you know, it's something as photographers we don't get into enough doing stuff like this, do we? Actually doing a little bit of graphic design perchance, and using our photographs, because things like that, you know, you give it to your non-photographic friends, you know, members of your family and stuff, and they love things like this because you can personalise them, can't you? And instead of having to go to something like funkypigeon.com in the UK, you can actually do it for them, and they can print it out and turn them into beautiful cakes. I mean, this is a great example, because it's actually quite difficult to expose candles and candlelight, because our cameras are very good are not so good at showing a vast range of light. But I like the work that Joe's done in there, getting the camera, getting the candle and the cake nicely exposed. It's very inviting indeed. Danny, this is a shot, what does he say? Here is a shot actually used for advertising quite a while ago. I took a bunch of shots of different people to be used specifically for this project, so I thought I would just use one of them instead of creating a new one, because I'm lazy. Fair enough. I'm known as one of the laziest person in our house. And in fact, on morning television today, they were talking about the oldest man in England, and he's 110. And when asked what his secret was, he said he thought it was the secret to a long life, as a man anyway, was being incredibly lazy. So I'm with him. And this is a shot advertising Danny's local church, I think, and it's a great use of selective colour. So we've got a black and white image of some people in the woods with a pile of rocks with some sticks and a pair of sunglasses on. Not quite sure what they're doing, but it looks like they're having fun. And what Danny's done is he's highlighted all the reds, so it brings out that sort of colour in the image. Nicely done, nice and sharp. It brings a three dimensionality to the photo. If we move on, here we go to Janelle 45, who in fact is I'm trying to think what's Janelle's Christian name. Let me have a look. I've got it written down here somewhere. Here we go, because I'd like calling people by their real names. And Janelle is Neil. Sorry, Neil. My apologies. Apologies, everybody, for slowing down the podcast there. He's got this great photo that he's taken in manual mode of this chap on what looks like a old World War II motorbike. I guess it's at some sort of rally reenactment, or it looks like a very nice, maybe a hint of HDR about it. There's lots of detail, lots of texture. It's almost got a sepia look, monotone, lots of browns and darker shades in it. And yeah, I really like the look of the guy's face. He's really concentrating as he's riding the motorbike across the grass. Fantastic image. And I'm sure if you know, you could find that guy, Neil, he would love to have a copy of that photograph. It would look great on his mantelpiece, because it's a real good portrait of the chap on his beast. Very nice photograph. I like the light, the highlights down the guy's leather jacket is very nice, the detail in the clouds and in the foreground on the bike as well. Now, Joe's been really busy. If you keep, you know, keep up with Joe on Facebook or on Flickr, and he's been doing some lighting workshops, and he's done some gallery work as well, which is fabulous. And this photo, he's got a photo of a young lady pointing a camera at him and taking a picture. And he says, complete manual mode with multi-strobe at lighting workshop from last night with my local meet-up. Because that's quite interesting, really, because when you are shooting with flash, off-camera flash especially, you do tend to shoot in manual mode all the time. And you tend to think, oh, isn't that tricky? But manual mode isn't, really, because we have the big advantage of the view screen on the back of our cameras and the histograms. And I've been using quite a lot of off-camera flashes. Well, they're on-camera as well, but they're manual flashes. So you kind of stick your camera into manual mode, set the shutter speed to a 200th of a second to get the sort of high sync speed. And then you just go, okay, well, I reckon, how about F8? With the flash at half power, and let's see what that looks like. And you take a picture, you look at the back of the screen, think, looks a bit dark, so what am I going to do? I don't know, let's go down to f5.6, or let's put more power in the flash, take the picture, look at it again, and find out what works best. What I like especially though about Joe's picture here is the white balance, and the exposure is very good indeed. The skin tones on this young lady are very good, and on her vest, so superb shot there. Down to Danny B, and he says, I always shoot in manual, so this assignment was a bit like cheating, but here are a few shots of my favourite people in the world. They are my favourite people, although they are difficult models. Hallelujah, Danny. Yeah, I agree with that. Trying to take photos of your family can be a bit tricky. They do tend to become bored, to put it politely, when you're always getting your camera out and taking shots. In fact, with Oliver, I've now started paying him to be my model, so that's good. But we've got some very intimate photos, some great photos of the, I guess it's Danny's son, playing with his wife's, or his partner's, baby bump. Very, very good. Very good indeed. Nice emotional pictures. Pictures to savour and keep forever, and a great example of how manual mode can help in a backlit situation, because we've got our subjects against a bright window. And so with manual mode you can kind of ignore that, because normally what would happen is if something's backlit, so you've got a strong light behind it, like someone standing in front of the sun or standing in front of a window, you just end up with silhouettes, because the camera sees all this light and goes, oh, I need to darken it all down, which means that your subjects suddenly become too dark. But manual mode, no problemo, exposed for the subjects, and it's very, very simple. Candice Morgan Photography, or Candice, she's done a great shot, an advert of an Acuras watch. And what she's done is she's taken a picture of the watch and taken the picture of, it looks like a wood bark, and combined them in Photoshop, added a title down the bottom, and produced something that wouldn't seem out of place in a, you know, like something like FHM or GQ as a magazine advert for those watches. Great work, really good Photoshop work. Yeah, I mean, looks very professional, Gandhi. Superb, well done indeed. And the lighting on the watch I particularly like as well. Metallic objects can be very difficult to light, because you end up with all these specular highlights, so bits of it that are incredibly bright that blow out. And the only real way to get round it is to try and really diffuse the light that's shining on them. Maybe use natural light by a window, or use some sort of scrim or material over your flash, or diffuse it through something like an umbrella, or use one of those, a softbox, or, you know, like one of those eBay boxes that you can make yourself. So good work indeed. And then she's done a manual photo using her old Asahi Pentax Spotmatic, a nice portrait, And yeah, good stuff. The sitter was lighted by a softbox reflector, and a light meter reading was taken from the subject shadow area below the chin. Very brave. I haven't actually done much. Excuse me. Portrait work with my film cameras, mainly because it is difficult, you know, if you're in a difficult lighting situation. But she's Candice has dived in there and produced a very evocative and nice portrait, so good work. PC Hugs, or Peter, has got this great photo, it says here, of a young baby in a Moses basket. My 3-day-old granddaughter, shot in manual. Yes, excuse me, I've got a bit of a cold, I keep sniffling. I'm trying to learn multi-flash, and I use 2 flashes, a Canon 430 and a 580. The 580 was the key light, which means it was the main light, in a Westcott Orb softbox. And the 430 was bounced off an umbrella. The flashes were both set to manual. The fill was set to 1/4 of the key. So, the... yeah. Both flashes were off camera. The 530 had a sync cord, and the 430 did its thing wirelessly. I'm pretty pleased that after setting all that gear and enduring the condescending smiles, the pictures came out okay. The exposure was set manually, so I think it came out more than okay. It looks brilliant. Very, very good indeed. Babies always difficult. They're either crying, asleep, or in the wrong position. But what I particularly like about this photo is, although Peter's used flash, it looks very natural. So he's hit that white balance very, very well indeed. You wouldn't guess it was flash because, again, he's diffused the light with a big softbox, and his fill light is coming off an umbrella, so it's spread out, so it doesn't look like harsh, harsh flash. So very, very, very nice. I like the composition, I like the baby in the round basket with the pillow. But I like the way the baby's hands are put together. So keep it up, Pete. You've got some great work there, you know. And with a new granddaughter, a fantastic subject. And you know that mum and dad, you give them a few photos, and they're gonna want more. Good, good, good stuff. Danny, a wildlife shot in manual. We've got a little squirrel sprinting across some, maybe a telephone cable or something, with a nut in his mouth. And just a real great action shot. And action shots in manual, something I haven't had a go at yet, but very brave and well done, because, you know, you can't change stuff. But it does, this picture does highlight something where manual mode for things like wildlife photography can be very useful, because you would think, oh, manual mode's slow, no good. But where manual mode is very, very good is the fact that if you're out, say, in this case, say, taking a picture of a squirrel as it's running along a cable, that squirrel, okay, if it's always in the same light, is always going to have the same exposure to expose him, isn't he, to get the right sort of colours on him and the right balance of light and dark. So imagine he's running along this cable, and then behind the cable you've got the sky. So you've got like a blue sky. But then as he's running along, there's some trees behind it, so it then gets darker. Now, if your camera is in one of the automatic modes, like aperture priority, shutter priority, program mode, or auto, when the squirrel was in front of the sky, the camera would go, "Oh, that's too bright," and turn the squirrel into a silhouette. No good. Squirrel carries on running in front of the tree. The camera now sees it's too dark and overexposes the squirrel. So if you're actually in manual mode and you set your exposure for the squirrel, say the squirrel's in sunlight, so you can just hold your hand up, take a reading off your hand, and set your camera to that. As the squirrel's running along from a background that is very, very bright, the sky, to a background that is very, very dark, say the trees, the squirrel will still stay perfectly exposed. And this is something I picked up from Martin Bailey's podcast when he was talking about taking photographs of snow cranes in Japan, because they have the problem that these snow cranes are white, but they might be flying against the sky, then the sea might be the background, then the trees. And if your camera's in automatic mode, the exposure of the cranes will keep changing. They'll keep getting darker and lighter, and you'll never get the right picture. But the light's not changing in the situation, so you should be in manual mode, exposing for the subject, i.e. the cranes, or in this case a squirrel, and then you can always make sure you get consistent exposures. Worth thinking about that, isn't it? Especially if, I would say, you're doing sports, say, inside a stadium or somewhere where there's different coloured backgrounds in the background and different levels of brightness, but the sun, or it's an overcast day, that the not sun is consistent, well, the players are always going to be the same exposure, aren't they, because they're running around, and all that's changing is the background. So as they go in front of a dark background, the players are going to go too bright. When they go in front of a bright background, the players are going to become too dark. So if you set your exposure manually and only adjust it as the overall lighting conditions change, you're going to have better exposures. Oh, my ones are next. Come and buy a toy helicopter. Every now and again I get sent things to review on the website, and I saw this as an opportunity to have a go at taking some product shots of this little mini remote control helicopter, which was good fun actually, but really difficult to do inside, because you can only use this little helicopter inside because it's an infrared remote control. Outside it doesn't particularly like it, plus the wind affects it incredibly. But what I wanted to do was capture some idea of movement of the helicopter, because I looked at a few shots on Flickr and on the web, and in lots of the pictures people had probably used flash or used a shutter speed that was quite high, and so the rotor blades were frozen where I wanted the rotor blades to be spinning, to be blurred. So I played around with it and settled on about a 60th of a second, I think, and that seemed to work okay. Back to Candice, and here we have some more manual work of a, again, film of a tombstone by the look of it, 1846, nice, a great photo, very emotive. We've got this lovely light and shadow falling across the gravestone, so we've got all the texture coming out of the engraving and the way the front is starting to fall off, and then we have what's in the background too, very nice indeed. Danny has done another one for manual mode. Here we have a bit Terry Richardson-esque, with the sun in the background poking between the two lovers having a kiss. Very nice indeed. Nice silhouette, and I love the way that sun's popping through just where their lips are meeting. Very good. Again, very nice, Danny. Well done. And then we have Pete, also known as Analogical. And I tell you what, this is a really nice photo. And he says, what it's an image of is it looks like a cattle grid. So we're looking across the cattle grid, so the lines of the cattle grid are moving away from us. There's an old rickety fence and a tree, and it's black and white. And he says, it was taken in almost complete darkness in manual mode with an Ilford film and an Olympus OM2N. I've got one of them. I can't remember the exposure time, but it was long, really long. And it kind of brings together, in the composition, I think, some elements that are very, very strong, and it's something we can all kind of try to include in some of our photographs, and the fact that we've got leading lines coming, zooming away from the viewer, and then we kind of hit this fence, but because the fence is kind of starts straight and diagonal, it leads our eye towards the tree, and the tree, the base of the tree, looks like it's slap bang on one of the PowerPoints of the rule of thirds, and it's a really nicely balanced image, really good. And the fact that, again, done in manual mode, long exposure, I mean, long exposure in digitals, fair enough, long exposure with film, what gets very difficult is you have something called reciprocity failure, which is where the film, the longer you expose it, becomes less and less sensitive to light. So with a digital camera, when you do, say a 15-second exposure, if you want it to be twice as bright, you do a 30-second exposure, yeah? It doesn't work like that with film. If you take a 15-second exposure and then want another one to be twice as bright, you probably have to do it for, a minute, because it's like this curve, and it changes for every single film. So to get an image like that, which is very nicely exposed, indeed, online exposure is well done indeed. And then we've got another film one, and this is a nice shot, again manual, Fuji Velvia, and he says, I suppose I'm selling the virtues of film, be it black and white, excuse me, or in this case colour, positive in the form of Fuji Velvia. This just blows me away in sharpness and colour. It does, I mean, it has a look. Film, you all know that I shoot film quite a lot. If I had more cash, I would shoot film a lot more often. And you know, it just has that certain unique look about it. But it's, I mean, I tell you what, I was watching yesterday. I got in from work, and they were showing The Empire Strikes Back on TV, and the look of that film, which obviously was shot on film, is amazing. When they're like in the cockpit, Han Solo and Leia and Chewbacca, C-3PO of the Millennium Falcon, you know, you look at that film, the lighting, but just the look of it, and then you compare that with the look of, like, I don't know, The Phantom Menace or something like that, and it's different, you know. Film definitely has its definite look. Next up, we've got Rod, and he said, we visited Atlanta recently. The Coca-Cola Museum was on our agenda, and they provided some nice product displays. So we've got some images of selling stuff. And what I like with these two images, Rod's worked hard to almost create abstract images, especially the first one of the green Coca-Cola glasses, where, you know, we make the subject fill the frame. And we've got repetition, we've got balance, we've got symmetry, which is always very nice. And with these particular ones as well, because they're glasses, we can see through the glasses, and we've got the repetition of those images going back, and the dominance of one particular colour, in this case, green, very nice indeed. And then we've got a nice picture of some Coca-Cola bottles on a shelf. Again, we've got repetition, we've got symmetry, we've got leading lines receding away from us. Very nice, good work there, Rod. And then we've got some more shots from Joe from working in the studio with strobes, and he puts, working in the studio with strobes requires manual mode and proper metering to get the effect looking for. Here are some images of the beautiful Shelby I shot this last Saturday. Yeah, and what can I say, Joe, bang on. Great focus, great sharpness, great exposure. Lovely lights. You wouldn't completely guess it was flash. It's nice and diffused, and some great poses, and yeah, but it was great fun, and you learnt loads, because these photos look very, very good indeed. So well done, Joe. And then finally, Jess done this great, it's a magazine cover, and I tell you what, thank you for doing that, because it meant quite a lot to me, actually, that somebody spent the time. And it's a magazine cover, and it says SCL, the magazine, Subject Composition in Light, and it's really nice. I hope you don't mind, but I've actually downloaded it and kept it, because it really good. It's a great, beautiful picture of the woman, the young woman, and he's put various titles on it, like Nikon versus Canon, Who Has the Edge, Is Film Dead More Alive Than You Might Think, and Rob Nunn, The Anatomy of a Photographer's Podcast. So thank you very much indeed. I'm so pleased that, well, other people like listening to the podcast, because you know, I'm just this amateur photographer who I just enjoy doing the podcast and sharing stuff with people and learning from all you guys and girls as well, all the work you put in and all this wonderful work you put in with things like the Flickr photo group and these assignments that we do every couple of months. So thank you very much. Really touched me. So that's it for the September October assignment. What are we going to be doing for November and December? Well, I thought we're all going to be incredibly busy, aren't we, in the run up to Christmas. So I thought, let's choose something that doesn't necessarily mean we need to go out and take some photographs, but we can do when we're at home, you know, in the dark and the wet and the cold. And I thought, you know, it's time to start looking through the photographs we've taken this year, take stock, and share some of what you think are your best. So I guess that's the title, Show Is Your Best. Have a look at the photographs you've taken, stick them in a new thread that I'll put on the Flickr photo group, maybe a short description of why you think it's your best, or why the photograph means so much to you. But the whole point really is just to encourage us to go back, see what we've done, learn from what we've done, maybe be inspired by what we've done, and to start thinking about, you know, a new year's coming up, isn't it, time for new projects, new targets, new things we want to do. And I think, you know, those photos you took back in January, February, March, we've got plenty of time since then. And time is a great thing for giving us perspective about the quality of our work. And often you might find that some of the photographs you didn't like back then, you now do. Some of the ones you do, you don't. And this just gives us the space to look at that. I mean, if you go over to robinonphoto.com, and again, I'll put a link in the notes for show 208, I did a simple instruction guide on how to create a PDF, an electronic portfolio that you can create for free using Google Docs. So that if you wanted to, you could even create a small portfolio, electronic portfolio, of your best shots for 2012. Now, I'm not saying do that. You know, just post a couple of, well, however many you want, photos of what you think is your best work. It could be your bestest work is still to come in November and December, so keep posting into there. But that's the main thrust of the assignment. Show us your best. Go through, have a look at the photographs you've taken this year, and post them in the Flickr group. Okay, that's it. Thanks to Everyday Jones for the intro and outro music. You can find their stuff for free download at everydayjones.com. Thanks to everybody for taking part in the Flickr group, posting their photos in the group pool. Remember, it's free. If you haven't done already, come over and join. Taking part in the assignment. Thanks everybody for putting comments on the robinonphoto.com website. Thanks everybody for going over to iTunes and other podcast aggregators and giving us stars or giving us comments. Really appreciate that, helps a lot. But most of all, thanks to you for downloading and listening to the podcast. My name's Rob from robinonphoto.com, and hopefully pretty soon I'll see you on Flickr.